Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we are gathered together with brothers and sisters in Christ to praise and worship you. Father, we know that many times we feel many things against us. Father, we feel life is against us, families against us, situations are against us. But Father, we know that with you, there's nothing that can stand against us. Father, that we don't have you as a support, a refuge, a father, a protector, a guider. And Father, we thank you for the relationship we have with you. And Father, I pray that we would lift you high this morning. That Father, you're aware, being aware of your presence would be so important and so real to us this morning. Father, you are here with us. You serve us. You give to us. You enjoy us. You welcome us into your presence. And Father, I pray that we will not be so distracted, not be so overwhelmed, that we will not enjoy the presence that you offer. Father, guide us this morning as we look in your word. Guide our hearts, change our minds. Give us wisdom and discernment on how we can leave here and live a life worthy of your calling. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 So how was everybody's weekend so far? Been good? Yeah, it's a little chilly out here, you know. That's a good thing. Not too cold, though. That's not a good thing. But wanted to share, we were able to have a great, great weekend. This past weekend, we went to a discipleship conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was a very, very encouraging, inspiring conference. Over 1,300 people were there from various backgrounds. We had the Acapella Church of Christ there. We had Baptists there. We had Catholics there. We had many of our sister churches, about 14 of them, representing. Douglas Jacoby spoke there. Jeff Hickman was there. Tom Brown was there. The Hammonds were there. Marcus DeCavallo from the Jacksonville Church was there. And it was an amazing, amazing time. Because what the conference focused on was discipleship. Discipleship. And so no matter the background, no matter what your doctrine was, these are churches that came together to say, we want to learn how to follow Jesus. We want to learn what it means to be a Christian. We want to learn what it means to follow him. And every person in the congregation that claims to be a disciple of Christ, then how do we mature people in Christ? You know, discipleship is about following Jesus. It's about maturing in Christ and helping others to mature in him. And I'd say that all of us, we have a long way to go, amen? If Jesus is our goal, and sometimes we get the goals messed up, don't we? Sometimes we go, what's the goal? Oh, to get to heaven. Well, yeah, that's going to be the ultimate goal. But what's the goal on earth? To follow Jesus, to be more like Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be more like Jesus, oh, and call others to follow Jesus. You see, it's not just, it's not an individual sport. It's not just me coming to get my Jesus on. It's not me coming to church to go, oh, you know what, I'm going to get my Jesus on. And then, No. It's not just about you. It's about you following Jesus, becoming more like him, so you can say, come on, become more like me as I follow Christ. And within our congregation, it's about going, brother, I love you, man. How you doing? How can I help? How can you help me? It's about us helping each other to become more and more and more like Jesus. And that is not a Sunday event. People don't understand Christianity. We got to be open with that. We got to understand that. That most don't understand what it means to be a Christian. The majority of people that you see walking day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, they don't understand what it means to be a Christian. If we were to ask everybody in this room, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? How many answers would we get? How many do you think? Bill said about as many as you got in the room. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, let's just write it down. What does it mean? What's the definition of a disciple? We'd have many answers. You see, if we have many answers in this church, then this is what we want to grow and change. We need to have a very good understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And what happens over the years, some of us, when we were first baptized, we knew exactly what it was. But what happens? Life can come in, and then we can start drifting and forgetting and becoming more like ourselves than like Jesus. Or, God forbid, we have somebody that hurts us or somebody that misunderstands us. And then what do? We start pulling back from people and stop maturing as Christians. So we don't want that to happen in this church. We want our church to be a church where everybody truly understands what does it mean to be a Christian and to be able to articulate that from the scriptures. And so that's why we went to discipleship conference, to be able to learn and grow and be inspired to help to come back and help everybody get on that same page. And so that is the process. We're very excited about it. Now, on our way back, we met Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. We celebrated our time. 14 of us went to this conference. And so we had pizza and gathered around and kind of shared all that we learned about discipleship. It was amazing. And unfortunately, Judy Brannigan got sick. And she got some kind of virus. And they had to leave, I guess it was Friday, right? Friday. And so be praying for Gene, because Judy's ready to go, but Gene's sick. And so on the way back, we roomed together. We had the same house as John and Anna. And yesterday morning, I got up, and I was feeling a little woozy and a little nauseous. And I said, hey, John, could you get the first stretch of our drive? And so John drove the first hour, second hour. I said, John, just let me rest a little bit. I'll get with you on that third hour there, bro. Fourth hour came, fifth hour. And I'm like, John, in about 30 minutes, I'll be ready to go. Sixth hour came. And finally, he's like, I got it, bro. I'll take us in, you know. And what's that? Yeah, he said, I'm going to finish what I started. I said, amen, because I am tired. But it so happened that I was knocked out for all of last night. And this morning I got up and I said I can't, and so I called John. I said, John, I need you to bat, bro. I need you to pinch hit for me, and he's ready to go. But then all of a sudden, there was a healing, and so I got some energy and I'm ready to go. But in case I faint, John, come on up. John has my back, and so just go ahead and wheel me on out, and he'll continue to preach. So. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Leaping like a lamb. I didn't know that lambs leapt. But baby ones leap. They leap for joy. They leap when they're playing. They just leap. They're so cute. I mean, you ought to Google, like, leaping lambs. And they jump up, they're running, they're all excited. And it's amazing how many times in life we want to be happy, but we don't know what it means to be joyful. And happiness goes up and down, right? You can be happy about this, happy about that. Happiness flows. Happiness, it has its ebbs and flows. But joy is something that lasts no matter what the circumstances are in your life. Leaping like this little lamb. And I don't know what the other lambs are doing, but he is sure having a good time, isn't he? I have moments in my life where I feel like that lamb. that no matter what's going on in my life, challenges, and we've had many challenges, that I can leap in my heart like this lamb. Then there are other times where I'm a little down, a little frustrated, and not joyful at all. There's something about this rejoicing that the Apostle Paul had in his heart. He was an individual who would leap like a lamb and rejoice even though he was suffering. Even though he was going to a deadly end. Paul writes Colossians and he's in prison in Rome. And I don't know how many of you have been in prison, but I don't see prison and leaping like a lamb in the same category. But while he was in prison, he was leaping like a lamb. And so I want to know, what did he leap about? Why was he so joyful? What was it that made Paul rejoice so much and no circumstance on this earth could take it away? That's the kind of joy I want to have. So no matter what happens in my life, I want to be joyful, and it's something that supersedes this life. It's greater than this life. It's greater than our trials. It's greater than our jobs. It's greater than our families. What was it that made him leap like a lamb? Let's look in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, now, right now I rejoice. Present tense. I am in prison and I am leaping like a lamb. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice, he says. You can't fake this expression. It's a joy that will allow you to sing hymns of praise to God in prison in Acts chapter 16. This is the joy that after being flogged for speaking the name of Jesus, Peter and others were released and went on their way rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of the suffering of Christ. Being flogged after preaching the word, they were rejoicing, leaping like lambs, because they suffered like Jesus. Acts 5. Paul boasted in his sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 31. Paul rejoiced, skipping around like a lamb with joy, a supernatural expression, a spirit-led expression that is independent of your circumstances. Paul says, now, right now, in prison, I rejoice. Boy, if we could all find that moment where you look back in your week and you said, boy, what was the toughest time in your week? And you say, you know what, it was tough, AB, but boy, I rejoiced even though it was challenging. That kind of joy is a joy that we can have in Christ. Now, it says in verse 24, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages to generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles this glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one whom we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Paul rejoiced. Paul leapt like a lamb. That was his insides. That was his spirit, a spirit of joy that came from the Holy Spirit. What did Paul leap like a lamb for? Paul Becoming like Jesus, for Paul, produced a leaping of a lamb in his soul. Becoming like Jesus was the most important endeavor in Paul's life. Not becoming a better Paul, but becoming like Jesus. It gave him joy. Paul said that the suffering intended for Christ is now mine. Think about that. In verse 24, in the middle of it, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Wow, what is he saying? He's saying that Christ is dead. He resurrected and went up to heaven. But now, Christ is in me. And so I'm going to become more like him on this earth. And so, yeah, what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church? Paul understood that the church was an extension of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say it again. Paul understood that the church, let's just say the 1,200, the extension of the body of Christ. And so, because he was a part of the body of Christ, he wanted to imitate everything about Christ and the body of Christ. He wanted to go through the same things Christ did. Because Christ said, now it's you. You go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you. You see, Paul didn't do it alone. He knew God was with him. But just think about it. Think about this, how deep this is. And this is not just for Paul the apostle. Say, well, yeah, Paul needed to suffer like Jesus. He was an apostle. But for us, we're just Christians. We don't need to suffer like Paul, because Paul was one of those Christians that had a doctorate. No. The body of Christ, they hated Jesus, so therefore they're going to what? Hate me, Paul's saying. They flogged Jesus, they're probably going to flog me. Jesus wasn't popular, I probably won't be popular. They love Jesus, they're probably going to love me. I'm becoming more like him. You see, Christianity is so much more than just coming to church, reading your Bible, having a head knowledge of who Jesus is and who God is. It's literally you saying, I'm dying to myself, and I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Paul understood. He said, I'm taking the blows for him who took blows for me. That was Paul's heart. So that made him leap like a lamb to go through the sufferings of Christ. That's wild. That's amazing. I'm suffering so good. It's crazy. No, it's Christ. It's Christianity. Some of you are looking at me going, what? Suffering is good? If you become more like Jesus, it is. He leapt like a lamb. Becoming like Jesus made him leap that way. Becoming a servant made Paul leap like a lamb. In verse 23, look up there with me, it says, in 23b, this is the gospel you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul says, I was not always a servant, but because of the good news of Christ, I have become one. What does that word servant mean? Anybody know? When he says, I have become his servant, what does it mean? Servant. Serve others? Okay, what does the word mean? No, that's what they do, yeah. What does the word mean, servant? Minister? Anybody else? Yeah. What's that? Living sacrifice? That's true. It is. What does the word mean? Yeah. Slave. Waiter. A low waiter. Not even the head waiter. A low waiter. Yes. Say it, sister. Okay. There it is. I'm a slave. I'm a servant, Paul says. I leap like a lamb because I'm a servant. I'm a lowly servant. I'm the lowest servant. And I'm just waiting on you. You ever been to a restaurant and have experienced a waiter or a waitress that really is haughty and arrogant? They're like, yeah, what you want? What you order? You know. Okay, yeah. You know, I'm like going, well, do you want to be at work? You must not. I mean, you have a bad. You ever had one of those waiters that just like, you know, they're not really. Or didn't you have a really good one that says, it would be my joy to serve you tonight? You're like, oh, wow. Wow, I feel so. Oh, wow. Or just water with a slice of lemon. Thank you. So, I mean, you feel so grateful because they just want to serve you and they're excited about it. Now, it's their job, but they're excited about it. Paul was excited to serve the gospel. He was excited to be lowly. He didn't want to be the manager. He didn't want to be the owner. He just wanted to serve. In my life, I have found that when I want people to serve me is when I'm the most miserable. But when I serve and have a heart of service, I'm joyful. I'm not looking for anything. I don't have expectations. Paul had low expectations. He just wanted to serve. And this came from a man who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, trained under Gamaliel. He was about serving himself. But he said, I became this way. Something stopped me in my tracks, and I became a servant of the gospel. In verse 25, I have become a servant by the commission God gave me to present the word of God in its fullness. In its fullness. Paul says, I'm not cutting corners. I'm going to share with you the whole gospel. I'm going to admonish you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it out to you. That's what I'm serving. That's the disciple of Christ. That's what Jesus did. That's what Paul said he did. And then there's this mystery in verse 26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says, I'm leaping like a lamb because of this mystery. Well, what is the mystery? It's something that's hidden and then becomes revealed. What was the mystery? Well, what could have been the mystery? What are some things that fall under that category? The incarnate Christ. The bride of Christ, the church. Jesus the Messiah. Everything that happens after Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, is the revealing of the mystery. They heard about it, but they didn't understand what it was. There's so many things that in the Old Testament they heard about through the prophets now has been revealed. He's saying, I am so excited. I'm leaping like a lamb because of this mystery. And then he says something powerful. He says in verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, let me tell you something. This mystery is not only to be revealed for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Christ in you. You know what the mystery is? Christ, the Messiah, being in us. And us being the church, the body of Christ. That's the excitement that made him leap like a lamb. That not only Jesus is in heaven with God, but he's come down to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can be Christ on this earth. We can walk like him. We can talk like him. We can heal. We can love. We can serve just like Jesus. If we all are disciples. If what makes us leap like a lamb is becoming more like Christ. I don't know what brings you joy or the most joy. But in order to be a Christian, becoming like Jesus has to be numero uno. Numero uno. Or what happens is that other passions come in and supersede that, and then the result of that is religiosity, not discipleship. You come to church on Sunday, praise God, you get a lesson, and so it stimulates the mind, but it doesn't do anything for the heart. It doesn't change you. Paul's saying, I leap like a lamb because the body of Christ, Christ in us, is on this earth. And now we have a chance to be a true light of the city because people can come in and see black and white, rich and poor, all different type of backgrounds and go, what in the world brought you together? It's the blood of Jesus. It's Christ. Are you guys with me? What makes you leap? Now, for some of us, we leapt 10 years ago, but we ain't leaping now. Well, we go through stages. And sometimes you have that time where you get distracted, and that's why we need to be continually maturing and getting discipled and discipling one another, being each other's lives. Can I get an amen on that? Now, who's in your life? Are you being discipled by Jesus? Is he telling you what to do, how to feel, who to be? And are you being discipled by the body of Christ? People in this room that you can say, you know what? I need maturation in this area. Because some of us are really skilled and really mature in some areas, but maybe when it comes to being a parent or being a husband or a wife, we need a little more encouragement, a little more direction. Are you getting it? Because if you're not leaping like a lamb, I guarantee you there's areas in your life that you need to grow. And amen, we all need to grow, right? But boy, if I'm growing and if I'm becoming more and more like Christ, I tend to be more joyful. When I want to be like me, that's when I go down. Paul rejoiced in this mystery. The Messiah will live in us. That was prophesied and it was revealed and fulfilled when Jesus resurrected. In verse 28, he is the one we proclaim. He is the one we proclaim. Did you hear that? Paul wasn't saying we proclaim a church building. We proclaim a great service, a great band, a great choir. Well, we ain't got a choir. We ain't got a band. Or we proclaim a great minister, a great message. Or we proclaim great relationships, very, very diverse. Amen. What do we proclaim? Paul says what made him leap like a lamb was that he proclaimed him, Jesus. That's our proclamation. Paul rejoiced. He was a herald. He was a messenger from the king. His style was open. He preached, he warned, he encouraged, he taught. Why did he do all these things? For maturation. Look at verse 28. It says, presenting everyone fully mature in Christ. Presenting everyone. Who is everyone? Everyone fully mature, complete in Christ. Raise your hand if you are fully and mature and complete in Christ. Raise your hand. You are? Oh, no, come on, stand up, Evan. Emma said, not fully. I mean, who's fully mature? None of us. None of us. I'm not. So it would behoove me to somehow be taught, to be admonished. Sometimes I need warnings. AB, you're not living this right. You're not doing this right. You're not thinking right here. And if you continue to think like this, you're going to be in trouble, and so will your family. I need to be admonished, warned, trained, taught, rebuked, corrected. I need this. You need it too. If I'm going to be mature in Christ, and I'll never be fully mature until Christ comes back. So I answer this question just to yourself. How are you maturing in Christ? How are you maturing in Christ? Are you doing it by yourself? Are you doing it by reading the scripture and saying, amen, I'm there? Sometimes it helps to have others around you to go, am I growing? It's good to ask somebody, isn't it? Ask your spouse. Ask your children. Ask a brother and sister who's closest to you. Am I mature? And know the areas in which you need to mature in. Maybe it's being just your one-on-one relationship with God. Maybe you're just too distracted. You don't even read and pray like you used to. Maybe it's you're in your family. Your husband and wife, you guys are not really getting along, and you've been kind of at each other's throat for a while. You need some help. You need to learn how to mature. You got to mature through those things. Maybe it's on your job. You think everybody's just out to get you. Your boss is crazy. Your coworkers are insane. And maybe it is true. but how do you, as a disciple of Christ, how do you endure and work in that environment? How do you keep on rising up like Joseph? How do you? In Ephesians 6 talks about slave and masters. Read that. It's about submitting to leadership in your life. Do you submit well, or do you bicker and argue and complain? If anybody had the right to do that, it'd have been Jesus, but he didn't. He submitted. See, discipleship made Paul leap like a lamb. Maturity. We need to be discipled, every single one of us. And let me say this. We need to be intentional in our growth. We need to be intentional in our discipleship. If you have an area in your life, write it down. And then say, who can help me in this area? That's when we involve the whole body. And that's the beauty of being in the body. Just about every single one of you in this church has helped mature me. Just about every single person, in some way, shape, and form, whether directly or indirectly, I've benefited from your presence. Some have gotten very more specific in my life with me being a father, me being a husband. Some of you have gotten with Carlin and myself and helped us to grow when we were stuck. Many of you helped us with our children and how we parent. Some of you have helped us in our finances. We've given you our budget. And you say, hey, these are some things that need to be considering as a Christian, our priorities. Many of you brothers have been with me as I go through my challenges. I've confessed things to you, impurity, bitterness. You've been there to help me, to guide me, to admonish me. Who's in your life? Who's in your life? You see, if we're not proactive and intentional, hear this, Satan is. He's always working. He's always scheming. He will put a hedge between you and the body. He'll get distracted. He'll bless you with something that will distract you. The number one priority in this room as a church should be our maturation in Christ. Now, And there are many times where we don't feel like maturing. We don't want anybody in our life. Many times we just don't have the energy left over in a day to get help. The best we can do is get up, go to school, have a quiet time prayerfully, go to school, go to work, come back, and we're exhausted. You know what Paul did? God's energy made him leap like a lamb. In verse 29, to this end, and that end was maturing in Christ. He was like, hey, listen, it's going to take energy to mature. We have to understand that we don't grow as a church by sitting around and doing nothing. You grow by being active, being intentional. You grow by dying to yourself, using all of your energy. We're going to be tired one way or the other. Nobody's going to walk in there full of energy of their own selves, right? We're tired. We're worn out. We're overwhelmed. That's life. Look what Paul says. To this end, I strenuously contend. That's the energy that he has. With all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So what energy was Paul relying on? Jesus' energy. How did he get that energy? Take a wild guess. How do you think Paul got the energy to strenuously contend? How did he get that energy? He was a living sacrifice, fixed his eyes on Jesus. Yeah. Prayer. When's the last time you asked for God's energy? And just say, God, I can't do it. Hey, this morning, that's what I did. Trust me. I said, God, I don't have it. Please. Sometimes I don't have the energy to love. I just want to slap somebody. That's my energy. But the energy of God goes, no, 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 we don't want to slap. Let's hug. Let's love. I don't have that energy all the time. Rarely do I ever have it. But I got to ask for it. I got to look for it. I got to depend on it. I got to get it from the word. I got to get it from prayer. I got to get it from other people who also has the Holy Spirit in them helping me. Some of us are not energized because we're not around people. Nobody's in your life. So you're not energized. You just come. You're religious. You can get that energy again by saying, I need help. Help me. Let's talk. It's not about somebody helping you. It's about us helping one another. Paul was energized. The power of God was so powerfully working in him. You know, it's amazing when we have the power of God working in us in a way that everybody can look at us and see something different. People should be able to come to this congregation and go, wow, you guys are different, but not just because we're diverse, but because they've been in your home. They've seen your marriage. They've seen the energy of God working really in your life, and you are on display. Are you on display? Paul says, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm a living sacrifice. So, I think we all can leap like lambs, amen? But it's going to take some intentionality and some self-examination. And if you are not a Christian, if you've not truly made Jesus Lord of your life, then I beg you this morning to get the help you need, to study the scriptures, to get with somebody in this room that knows how to be a Christian and just say, you know, I'm ready to surrender, because it does take surrender. I'm happy to announce that we have a brother in our congregation who really, I believe, works with all of God's energy. And he's an example at his job, and people can see him, and his wife, and even and Marshall, they have been getting with a young lady that is ready to meet Jesus Lord today. And this means that she is going to get baptized. She has confessed and she's repented of her sins. She's going to get baptized for remission of sins. She will now, after baptism, have Christ in her, the Holy Spirit. And she also will be added to our body, the body of Christ. That is a supernatural moment, brothers and sisters, that we are excited to be able to witness. So let's say a prayer, and where is it? And Vince is ready, so let's go ahead and say a prayer, and we'll witness a new sister in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Paul and his joy and knowing where it comes from. Father, help us to leap like lambs because of all that you've done in us. Father, we pray that every single disciple, Christian in this room, Father, would make you Lord again. We'll be able to find the joy in you again. Father, we'll be able to get the help that we need so that we, Father, can be the body of Christ. Thank you for this new addition. Thank you so much for all the ways that you love us, that you sent Jesus to be an example. Help us, Father, to follow him until death. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.